couple of sermons up here. Which one do you want? It's good to see everybody out here this morning. I want to say again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I know that Mother's Day, every day I guess a mother has the capabilities of being challenging. For those who don't have children, who wish to have children, cannot have children, today can be a very challenging and difficult day. For those who have lost their mothers, or for mothers who have lost their children, or for those who have a strained and difficult relationship with their mothers, today can be a very difficult and challenging day. And I want you to know that you are in our prayers. I also want to thank those moms who have had to work doubly hard over this last year. I know that moms have probably had kids more at home than maybe they're used to, maybe even learning new roles that they weren't expected or prepared to do. We owe them a thanks for doing that. We know that you all are tired and worn out. You are also in our prayers. We love you and we thank you for the good and hard work that you are doing. Will you bow with me in prayer this morning? Father, you are kind and you are gracious, and it is by your design that none of us would be here without our mothers. So we thank you for those women who brought us into this world. We thank you for those of us who were blessed and taught and loved by caring and compassionate, godly mothers. We thank you for this tremendous blessing. For those who maybe did not know the love of their mother, we pray that they may be comforted by your love and your tenderness and your care. For those who have lost their mothers, I pray that you comfort them with the hope of resurrection and the reunion that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, there are many this morning of our mothers, especially those with small children who are tired and worn out and ready for a break. I pray that you will strengthen and renew their spirits. Help them to know how appreciated they are and loved they are for the work they do and the difference they make. Father, in this world today, there are still many that are separated from their families due to COVID, and I pray that their loneliness will be alleviated by the comfort of your presence. No matter how big or small our families might be, no matter what we've been through or what we've experienced, we pray that you bless each and every household. May our families hallow your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done in our homes as it is in heaven. We do all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This week, I was incredibly inspired and blessed to learn the story of a woman named Ann Jarvis. And you may have heard or not heard of Ann Jarvis, but you're going to again. She has a remarkable story. Ann Jarvis was born in 1832, and when she was pregnant with her sixth child, and she bore up to 13 children, sadly, only four of them would reach adulthood because so many children and so many families in her area of West Virginia had lost so many children because of childhood diseases and infant mortality that was so high. When she was pregnant with her sixth child, she began to organize women's work groups. And these women would take care of medicine and food and clothing for other families. They would help families whose children became ill or whose mothers had become ill and couldn't take care of the children. They would even go around and inspect milk and make sure that it was good to drink long before the federal government deemed that such a thing should be necessary. They looked after each other. They took care of their neighbors. When the Civil War broke out, these same women's groups that were led by Ann Jarvis, they began to minister and to take care of troops on both sides. When typhoid fever and the measles broke out in both the Union and Confederate camps, Ann Jarvis and these women would take food and clothing and medicine and would minister to these troops on both sides of the conflict. When the Civil War finally ended, Ann Jarvis organized events that promoted unity and reconciliation and healing. Ann Jarvis was a very remarkable woman. In fact, her daughter, Anna, is the one who started Mother's Day. In May of 1905, Anna wanted to make sure that her mother and mothers like hers were honored. So in memory of her mother, every May we celebrate Mother's Day. And we celebrate not only Ann Jarvis, but other mothers who are committed to doing the hard work, who are committed to a mission. And that is what is so inspiring to me about Ann Jarvis' story. This is a woman who is committed to a mission of peace, a mission of alleviating suffering, a mission of loving her neighbor. And this month, and until about Father's Day, we're going to be doing a series on family, seeking the kingdom as a family. We're going to be talking about how in our homes, if we are children of God, if we are followers of Jesus, citizens of the kingdom of God, no matter how big or small our families are, our homes should be little embassies of God's kingdom. Isn't that right? That no matter the shape and size of your family, maybe it's just a husband and a wife, or maybe it's just you and home, maybe it's a mom and dad and kids, or just you and the kids, or maybe it's just you and the grandkids. No matter how big or small, your house should be a little embassy of God's kingdom. In my neighborhood, on my street, my house should be an embassy of God's kingdom. And the same should be said of your home as well. We should pray just as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As we pray for God's will to be done everywhere as it is in heaven, we should especially pray that God's will be done in our home as it is in heaven. That we say, "Father, may your will be done at home as it is in heaven. May my family be a place where your goodness and your character and your will is reflected into the world, where our homes are these little embassies of God's kingdom." And if it's true that our homes should be little embassies of God's kingdom, then our homes should look very different from the average home. Our home, the homes of those who follow Jesus, that embrace the way of the kingdom of God, they should look very different than the average American home. I think that's okay for me to say, that our homes, the views, the perspectives, the worldview, the values that we have in our homes should be different than the average home. In fact, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about what it looks like, what it means to be children of God, what it means to be citizens of God's kingdom. That everywhere we go, we are representatives of God's kingdom. Our families, our households, our homes are these little embassies of God's kingdom in our neighborhood, and they are different. They are different than the other households because of the way we think, and what we value is just different. One of the places that we have to start with is our definition of blessed. What does it mean to be a blessed people? What does it mean to have a blessed life? Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount in what the kingdom of God looks like and what the kingdom of God is all about. He begins by redefining blessed. He begins by turning upside down and turning on its head what it looks like to live a blessed life. And if we're going to be the kind of people who say, "Father, may your will be done in my house as it is in heaven, may I have a little embassy of heaven in my neighborhood," then we have to embrace Jesus' redefinition of what it means to live a blessed life. And that's where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.'" And no doubt you all have heard sermons and lessons on the Beatitudes, and you've probably read this part of Scripture countless times, but I want us this morning to rethink how we read the Beatitudes. Sometimes we have a tendency to read the Beatitudes as it's just this list of things that you ought to do. Instead, I want to challenge you to look at this as a list of announcements of who wins, an announcement of who gets the blessings of God. In other words, it's like Jesus saying, "Congratulations, this is your lucky day. This is the day you have been waiting for. Now God's promises are for people like you. Congratulations to these kind of people, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is for people just like you. Congratulations to these kind of people." But look at the things he says. It's not at all what you would expect him to say. Jesus doesn't say, congratulations to all the strong. The kingdom of God is for you. He doesn't say to the rich, congratulations. The kingdom of God is for people like you. He doesn't say to the incredibly intelligent, congratulations, the kingdom of God is for people like you. This is what he says. Congratulations, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit, not those who are filled with the Spirit, not the zealous, not the ones who are confident, the ones who spiritually think they have their acts all together, but the destitute in spirit. The poor in spirit. Jesus says, congratulations to the poor in spirit. Blessed are you, poor in spirit. Here's my announcement of the kingdom of God. Congratulations, poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus doesn't say congratulations to the happy. The kingdom of God is yours, for you have no need to be comforted. He says, congratulations, blessed are you who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The promises of God are made for people just like you. Blessed are the meek. The Hebrew word there is anav. And that word he is using translated to Greek, but the anav, the poor, the downtrodden, the afflicted. Congratulations to the afflicted. Congratulations to the destitute. Congratulations to the poor. Blessed are you, because you shall inherit the earth. Jesus is announcing these congratulatory statements, these announcements of what it looks like and what it means to be blessed. Who really are the blessed people? What does it mean to be blessed? These are the things that Jesus said. He says here in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The people like the scribes and the Pharisees who would have been the people that would be expecting congratulations. They were expecting for the Messiah to show up and say, congratulations, scribes and Pharisees. You have been so incredibly righteous. The kingdom of God is yours. Congratulations. All the promises of God are yours. But Jesus doesn't come and congratulate those that are already full. Congratulations to you who have it all figured out. Congratulations to you who know everything and know that they are doing everything absolutely right. But it's not. It's congratulations to those who are desperate, who are desperately seeking, like a hungry man for food, like a thirsty man for water. Congratulations, hungry and thirsty people. You are the ones who will be satisfied. Congratulations, merciful people. Congratulations, those who are pure in heart. Blessed are you because you will see God and you will receive mercy. Look at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you see or hear what he's saying there? Do you see what Jesus is saying? Peacemakers here isn't someone who just lives at peace or is a pacifist. It's someone who actively seeks out to reconcile a relationship. And what else? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Congratulations, persecuted people. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Not congratulations to those who have never been persecuted or those who have escaped persecution, but he says, those of you who have been persecuted, congratulations. The kingdom of heaven is yours. I know you thought you were destitute. I know you thought that God had turned his back on you. I know you thought that you had been abandoned. I know that you are hungry and you are thirsty for a relationship with God. Congratulations. Today is your day. The promises of God are for people just like you. Congratulations to the brokenhearted. Congratulations to those who are mourning. Congratulations to the poor in spirit. Congratulations to those who hunger and thirst. The promises of God are yours. You shall be called sons of God. Look at verse 11 here. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Congratulations to those that have reviled you and said all kinds of evil against you and persecuted you on my account. Congratulations, I have good news for you. The promises of God are for people just like you. The kingdom of God is made for people like you. So let's stop right there and think about this for just a second this morning. Is this typically how we define what it means to be blessed? I think oftentimes when we talk about how blessed we are, when we talk about the fact that we don't have to endure persecution. And I'm not up here complaining. I tend to be pretty glad that I haven't faced that. But Jesus does not say, congratulations, those of you who were born in a country where you never have to face persecution. Congratulations to you that have nice and comfortable and safe homes. Congratulations, you don't have to know what it feels like to live this kind of life. Jesus says, congratulations to those who have been persecuted. Blessed are you. I have good news for people like you. Jesus insists that if we are going to be people of the kingdom, if our homes are going to be little embassy of God's kingdom, then we cannot define blessedness the way that the world defines blessedness. Other people congratulate the strong. Congratulations, you who are strong. Jesus congratulates those who are weak. Others congratulate those who are happy. Jesus congratulates those who mourn. Others congratulate those who are spiritually confident. Jesus congratulates those that are seekers. Jesus congratulates the frustrated. So what is the application of all this? It's that we have to let Jesus redefine what it means to be blessed. We have to allow Jesus to redefine for our families what it means to be blessed. This means when we think about our blessedness, when we count our blessings, why are you blessed? Well, the world would say when you count your blessings, you take stock of all your strength. Well, I went to a great school. I have a good education. I've got good money. I have a big family. This has gone right for me. That has gone right for me. I'm happy about this. And the world says when you count your blessings, take stock in your strength. On the other hand, Jesus says, let me blow your minds for a second. When you count your blessings, take stock in your weakness. Take stock in your heartbreak. Take stock in your hunger. Take stock in your thirst. Take stock in your tears. Take stock in your need. Take stock in your desperation. Because when you take stock in these things and you say, I'm broken, I'm struggling, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I don't have this all figured out, and it feels like I have such a long way to go, and I'm so ready for a change, I'm so ready for a blessing, and then Jesus shows up, and he says, congratulations, the promises of God are for people just like you. When you take stock of your life, do you come away thinking, I've got this all figured out and I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm spiritually confident? Or do you come away saying, I am spiritually weak? And if you come away saying, I'm weak, then let Jesus reassure you. Congratulations. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are meek. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Congratulations to you because the promises of God are for people just like you. The kingdom of God is for people just like you. So how do we apply this to our family? Well, whether you're in a big household or a small one, whether it's two parents and a child or one parent and a child or just two adults, no matter what your family looks like, this is where it begins. This is where it begins. We have to embrace Jesus' definition of blessedness. We are not blessed because we are strong. We are blessed because the promises of God are for people just like us. That's why we are blessed. We need to teach our children that, and our grandchildren and our spouse and our neighbors, and maybe most of all, we need to teach ourselves that this is how we define blessed. We define the blessed life as the people for whom the promises of God apply, and that's all of us who are willing to embrace this type of humility, this type of mindset, this type of value system that says the most blessed people are the ones to whom Jesus says the kingdom of God is for. And it's just like you. The promises of God are for people just like you. Now, I don't know about you, but if we really listen to Jesus this morning, we can look around at our family. We can look in the mirror at ourselves. We can embrace both the things that are lovely and pleasant and enjoyable, but we can also take stock in our weakness, take stock in our brokenness, and our stock in our hunger and thirst and in our desperation. And we say, thank you, God, that the kingdom of God is made for people just like you and me. Thank you, God, that your promises are for people just like me. If you take stock in your life this morning and you realize that you are broken and weak and sad, and there's many things in which that you struggle, then take heart. Take heart, embrace Jesus' definition of blessedness, that the promises of God are for people just like you, that the kingdom of God is for people just like you. So let's do our best as we move forward, as we take our next step, to make our homes little embassies of God's kingdom. This morning, you might not yet be a citizen of God's kingdom, having yet to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. We urge you to not delay and to make that decision. You may be a Christian and find yourself struggling in your daily walk and need the prayers of the congregation. We want to help you in any way we can. Please make that known and come as together we stand and we sing.